This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I f***ing love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston next.
Big jab there from Duffy and Frank Mir is hurt now. Down goes Duffy on cold. Frank Mir does it again. Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole.
There are a couple of absolutely self-involved bullshit artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Oh, let's go. Episode two of the week, but episode 477 overall of the Anik and Florian podcast, presented by DraftKings. To quote Colin Cowherd, wherever in the world you may be, we appreciate your listenership, your viewership. Kenflo, you fixing your hair? It looks great. What's the problem?
A little scratch. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. It's been a nice little respite here at home. We're going to do some traveling this weekend. But this MMA space, there's no let up, right? I mean, UFC's got a live event every weekend, and we're obviously watching it and recapping it. Today, you got to make seven predictions on UFC Fight Night, Blanchfield versus Fiore. Did I get that right? Does Erin have the red corner this weekend? She does. It's actually a pretty underrated fight card, all things considered. We talked a lot to Ray Longo earlier this week about Chris Weidman, second fight since the leg break against Bruno Silva. But I got a few topics for you, Kenflo, off the top today. And then coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll talk to Big Gun Brian Petrie. We're also scheduled to talk to Renato Money Moicano later today on the program. And Cody's reminding me, yes, no UFC Apex this weekend. Big ESPN for UFC Fight Night, Blanchfield versus Fiore, Boardwalk Hall, Atlantic City, New Jersey. All right, so we have a bank of questions from our listeners, and sometimes when we have a lighter week, it affords us the opportunity to get to them. So one question came in: should the UFC force its champions in each division to defend their belts at least three times before being able to move up or down and challenge another champion? So how do you feel about some sort of minimum threshold title defenses before a champion is allowed to switch divisions and pursue that double champ status?
I actually like this. You know, I don't like a lot of these kind of institutional mandates where you have to do a certain thing, but I kind of like this for a few different reasons. I think it helps the division. When you do that, you have some kind of restriction on that. And also, I think it stops people from getting a little too excited. You just won the belt and now you want to take on the guy above or the guy below. Slow your roll, dog. Let's defend the belt a few times, and then we could start talk about, bigger and better things.
You could put something in writing, and then you could even change your mind promotionally. I don't see much upside for the UFC, who, by the way, largely operates in a meritocracy anyway. Certainly there are instances in which maybe a guy gets an opportunity because he has a bigger name than another guy who is deserving. But even in the case of Marlon Chito Vera and Merab Dwalishvili, the circumstances weren't perfect. I understand that Cheeto, 1-1 in his last two fights, was still afforded a championship opportunity. Generally speaking, I would like to see one minimum championship title defense before you are given the opportunity to change divisions. But Conor McGregor never defended the UFC lightweight championship. He was scheduled to do so, but Rafael Dos Anjos broke his foot, and that got Conor McGregor on a path of super fights. He fought Nate Diaz at a catchweight of 170 pounds, right? So a lot of different things can happen. And certainly when you have superstars, you have to retain the ability as a promoter to pivot. But for me, I think three title defenses is just too much and idealistic. But I would like to see, in the case of a Sean O'Malley, he just defended his title successfully for the first time. So now, if a star on his level wanted to challenge somebody like Ilia Topuria, I wouldn't have a huge problem with it. But Ilia Topuria has yet to defend the featherweight championship. So until he does that, maybe you want to take a preventative measure in terms of him having a super fight. I don't know. I would like to see, though, minimalistically, Ken Flo, one title defense before you're allowed to go belt chasing in a second division.
Yeah, and I think it just helps build up the fight that much more. I mean, people are going to be way more excited about champs that have defended their belt a few times than just getting their belt and automatically going up or down a weight class to fight for another belt. So, yeah, I think it helps all involved, really.
And I do think you're right. It stands to reason that if Ilia Topuria can beat one of these long-standing featherweight contenders like Max Holloway or Brian Ortega or Yair Rodriguez, it would only serve to heighten a potential fight with Sean O'Malley or anybody else. All right, I have one other question for you off the top of the program today, and then we will get to some other items. There is some clamor that Dustin Poirier would be the one to fight UFC Undisputed Lightweight Champion Islam Makhachev in June, if indeed that is the date upon which they want to have that lightweight title fight. In your mind, Kenny, how realistic is that scenario that Dustin Poirier would go to the top of the queue and be next to challenge Islam Makhachev?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think timing-wise, it probably works better when we're seeing, you know, obviously we have Gaethje, Armand, and Oliveira going at it middle of April. So perhaps, you know, for Dustin, having that be the option works better timing-wise. And also, out of all of those guys, Dustin might be the more popular name as well. So from a promotion standpoint, it probably makes sense. However, what do I want to see? I think Gaethje, Armand, Oliveira might make more sense from what they've accomplished recently. But I wouldn't have a problem with Dustin fighting Islam necessarily.
Yeah, you're right. True meritocracy right now, Justin Gaethje would be the most deserving guy, but he has a fight on the books against Max Holloway at UFC 300. Max Holloway could be in this mix. Of course, you mentioned Armand Tsarukyan and Charles Dubronx Oliveira. There are a lot of worthy lightweight contenders, and I do think Dustin Poirier, on the strength of that win over Benoit Saint-Denis, should factor in this conversation. But you're right, man. It comes down to the calendar. And Islam Makhachev, correct me if I'm wrong, has not fought since last October. And if he doesn't want to wait till, say, August of this year to defend his title, and June is the champion's timeline, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Dustin Poirier be the guy. All right, well, if you're looking to level up your nicotine routine, Lucy is your answer. Delivered straight to your door. Lucy is 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free. And not only can you choose your form, Lucy pouches, breakers, or gum, you can also choose your strength from as little as 2 milligrams to as high as 12 if perhaps you have been underwhelmed by the effects of other nicotine pouches. You can also choose your flavor, mint, apple ice, espresso, mango, a lot of different other flavors as well. And one customer review says, best nicotine pouches I have found. They feel and taste great. Couldn't be happier with my monthly subscription. Another user acknowledges receiving all-day focus from this clean nicotine alternative. And don't forget those Lucy Breakers, these one-of-a-kind nicotine pouches with a tiny capsule inside, are the product that really sets Lucy apart. So let us help you level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/AFPod and use promo code AFPod to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co and use code AFPod to get 20% off and always free shipping. All right, here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yeah! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, now joining us on the guest line. Hey!
There he is.
Let's up? What's go. Up? Let's okay. go. Hey, we know you're a busy man. We appreciate the time, brother. How you doing?
No, I'm doing very good. It's an honor to be here. I have been watching Kenny Florian long time. I remember when he used to fight in lightweight and then 45. I follow your career for a long time, my brother. It's a true honor, my brother. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No, you're not going to believe because nowadays I can talk with people like you and like all the guys that I watched throughout my life, and that's amazing. Just to
you're a star now, man. You're a star, man. You did it yourself, man. I love it.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, 15 years ago, I was watching a TV and thinking, man, I'm never gonna be on the fucking octagon. And now I'm talking to you guys, so that's just awesome.
Well, Kenny's not wrong. And if you're not watching and you're listening only, we are now joined by the number 13 ranked UFC lightweight contender. I would say star power for sure. When I look at this roster of 700, man, you're doing great. Renato Money Moicano is with us. So, hey, we know you're busy, man. We appreciate the time. Not all that long from now, UFC 300, April 13th. You're a man in demand, you know, a media mogul. But we appreciate a few minutes for sure, brother.
I would not say that. I'm still trying to get used to, you know, because back in the day, I just had to train and fighting, but now more and more stuff, opportunities are showing up, and I'm very happy to be able to do that and people want to hear me talking, so that's good. Thank you so much again for having me here.
You're a smart man to diversify, my friend. I wanted to ask you about your next fight, Jalen Turner. He's a tall guy. He's a very good fighter. How did this fight come together? You know, sometimes it's one guy calling out another guy, or sometimes it's just the UFC kind of bringing this opportunity. So how did this fight get put together?
I think, in my opinion, UFC wanted a good fight for the early prelims on UFC 300. They were looking for still one fight on UFC 300. And I think that fight kind of makes sense. Jalen Turner and me, we are in the same position. He's a very good fighter. I am a very good fighter. And I think they are trying to make a good matchup. And I think that is going to be a good matchup. UFC 300, I'm blessed to be on that card. And Jalen Turner is tough, but I will beat him.
I can't wait for that fight, man. It's a great one. I wanted to ask you about Bitcoin. I actually have my Bitcoin shirt on right now. I heard you talking about it. And, you know, I loved it. I think you said fiat is money that comes from politicians and promises. And I thought that was really beautifully said. How did you get into Bitcoin?
I got in Bitcoin 2020, right? Because the speculation bubble that always comes with a bull market. So everybody was talking about, because 2018, Bitcoin was not a huge thing. And then 19 and then in 20 on the pandemic, the shit went up and everybody was talking about that on the gym. And I had a lot of friends that love money too. And they were talking about Bitcoin and I just, okay, I will try that. But as I start to learning about money and about politics and about finances and about, I start to realize that's revolutionary. That's a way that you can keep your money on the clouds, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Government, if you do it right, if you do your own custody, nobody gonna take your money. Neither the government, neither some bandits, neither some people that want to steal you. And for me, Bitcoin is the true and only real private property nowadays. Because you can say, I own my house, I bought my house, but if you don't pay taxes, they're gonna take your house.
Right.
Your car is the same. They're going to take your car. And even your kids, if you don't put your kids on the school, the government can take your kids from you. So Bitcoin, I think he's like a moral imperative. It is like the revolution of finances. And more I learn about Bitcoin, I start to realize that something is special about that. It's like,
and the only.
It's like if you see there is an old interview of Milton Friedman, one of the best economists, and he's saying the internet money, once somebody start to make internet money decentralized, that government cannot print and government cannot control, this is going to be revolutionary. And now we are 2024, Bitcoin is going up as hell.
I got two guys here on the podcast that do the research. John Anik and Renato Moicano. These guys go deep into their research. I love it.
Well, and the only reason Kenny would sell Bitcoin would be to buy that Money Moicano merchandise, which is out there. And we'll get the exact website later in the interview. Renato Moicano with us here on the Anik and Florian podcast. So this whole money theme, right? You had built a foundation as an outstanding UFC fighter prior, but it did seem like you sort of attained this star power somewhat overnight by maximizing the microphone and doing so in a second language, no less. So how did you go from Renato Moicano to Renato Money Moicano?
Man, that's awesome. You're amazing commentator too. Your voice is now a trademark of UFC. So it's funny to see that too. But to me was about, like I say, once my son born, I realized that everything that I do from now, it's going to be about my family and my kids. And now it's not about me. So I have to have money, right, to provide and to keep my family in the right way. So because let's talk about nowadays, with this economy, with this landscape on politics, nowadays it's almost impossible for the small guy, for the guy that works in a regular job to have a house and to have his wife taking care of his kids, right? Now, both parents work in households, and I start to realize that is wrong, and that's why we have so criminality and so much people that is not following the right path because they don't have nobody to guide him. So I thought, man, I want to have money. I want to have a better house. I want my wife to be at home taking care of my kids. I want to have multiple kids. I want to raise a good, stable family that can, and I want to provide them. So I need money. So this whole money thing is about ownership, you know. It's about being responsible for me, for myself. And then I start to study like Austrian economics. And then I start to study like how the market works, like supply and demand, flow, stock flow, all that kind of principles. And I start to realize that everything that they say to us is a lie. Like everything is a lie. They lie us so much about money. Then I start to realize most of the people that are very rich nowadays, they are subsidized by the government. Like if you see these big corporations, they are in ties with the government. So they don't, like we have a lot of ghost companies on the USA right now. They just survive because the Fed can control the yields, right? Can control the how do you say, juros? Like
the laws and regulations,
not only the laws and regulations, but the money that you can borrow from the government. Right,
like the loans and being subsidized. And
yeah,
like
being that. Subsidized. Yeah. I forget about the name. In English is very hard. So that's why when I realized after my son was born, I start to talk about and think about money. Then I realize everything's about money, because in the end of the day, like you as a person doesn't matter, and what you can do for the society, right? So if people want to watch you, if they like you, they're gonna pay to watch you, they're gonna pay more attention to you. And I think UFC is a huge platform for that, right? It's a huge platform for that. So I am just taking advantage of what UFC is giving me for free, right? Because goes both ways. I have to do a good fight and then I have the mic and then I can talk and then can express myself and then more people like me. So always is a trade-off.
Well, you're really starting to maximize the platform. Learning English is hard. I mean, I knew your English was good. I didn't know it was quite this good. Learning English as a second language. I tried to learn Brazilian Portuguese. I know a little bit, you know, desculpe, con licença, you know, I know how to get out of the fucking way, right? It's not a tadios if I need to go to the restroom, bom dia, but I really do commend you, right? And it's one thing to understand and comprehend English. It's another thing to be able to speak it the way you do. So I commend you on that. Hey, so in terms of money, right, the best way to make money is to become the undisputed UFC lightweight champion. Short of the title fight, like what's the big fight in your mind that gets you to the title fight? I understand we got Jalen Turner on the horizon, but what's the big fight to get you to the title fight? Is there a name?
It's tough, you know, it's very hard to predict the future. Very, very hard. So I don't spend too much time trying to plan and try to, because everything can happen, right? But nowadays, I'm not too much worried about the rankings. I'm not too worried about the ranks. But if you see, I like to see the past and see how things goes. And if you see the way Masvidal did his moves, I like it. I want to do the same. It's not about rankings, it's about popularity. So the Paddy Pimblett fight, maybe it's a good one because it's better than fight guys in the top five, in the top 10. It's an easier fight. And the guy brings a lot of eyeballs. You have to respect him for that. I don't know why people think he's funny. I don't know why people tune in, but they do. And if I beat him, and that's easy, guarantee money, my brother. This is not financial advisor.
No, I get it. I get it.
This is not financial advisor, but my brother, me against Paddy Pimblett is free cash in front of you.
I understand.
You know?
I understand.
So I'm not too worried. You know, I want to fight. I want to fight guys that bring the eyeballs, you know? Doesn't matter if it's a guy like, let's say, of course, everybody wants to fight Conor McGregor. For me, it doesn't make any sense now because in the positions that we are. But a guy like Chandler I don't really care. I don't really care. I just want to keep doing my thing, keeping doing good fights, keeping talk what I think. And eventually, I will be on a title conversation. But that don't worry me because I cannot control that, you know? If I can't control, I don't give a fuck.
Right. Forgive my ignorance, but Mataj Gamrot, Armand Sarukyan, Dustin Poirier, a lot of elite lightweights at American Top Team. I'd imagine unless it's a championship setting, you're not fighting any of those guys. Is that accurate?
Depends on the money, you know? Money.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're fine.
Mataj Gamrot is my friend. Mataj Gamrot is my friend. But I have talked to all these guys and say, man, if that fight makes sense. If I will get to the title, I will fight anybody on this, you know, because in the end of the day, everybody's chasing their dreams, you know, I am chasing my dream. If the guy is in front of me and if the fight makes sense, unfortunately, I will fight you, you know. It is the nature of what we're doing, right? I want to be the best, so I have to be individualist. I have to think about myself because I'm 34 years old. I don't have too much time longer, so I have to do what I have to do.
Look at this guy dropping the word individualist in a second language.
I wasn't sure I could be a bigger fan of Renato Moicano, but now I am. Like, what? How did we not have him on the show before, Tom?
All right. Well, in the nature of pursuing your dreams, we're only going to take two more minutes of your time because there are priorities here. I have some rapid fire quick questions for Renato Money Moicano on the way out. Who is your best training partner? I know it's hard to isolate one, but the powerful American Top Team and beyond, who is your best training partner right now as you get ready for this fight?
I think for this fight, is not Matheus Ganot, but overall is Matheus Ganot. And Grant Dawson is amazing training partner. But for this fight, we are using tall guys, you know. We have a lot of Russian tall guys that are helping me, not from the UFC, but from PFL. And we have a lot of people that are helping me throughout this year. So huge shout out to American Top Team. It's like a second home to me. It's so good to be at ATT. And actually, I train with everybody in ATT, you know. I was supposed even to help Armand, even though I was booked to fight him last year. So it's business for me. I don't hold any grudge and I don't take personal my life. I try to conduct myself the way as a professional, because I am a professional and I have been in this game for a long time. So for me, doesn't really matter. I train with everybody.
All right. If the king of Rio de Janeiro, Jose Aldo Jr., came to you and said to you in Brazilian Portuguese, all right, now's the time. I want to learn how to speak English. What's the one thing that has helped you get over the hump? Because you're over the hump.
To me, it was like online gaming, you know? I like to play some FPS shooter games like Counter-Strike and Call of Duty. And I was learning through playing the fucking games. That's why my English is
amazing. No, it's great. I mean, we got to tell Jose Aldo Jr., Kenny's former opponent, that's how you get it done. All right. What's the worst thing about living in South Florida?
The worst thing about living in the USA for me now is be too far from my family in Brazil. That's the only thing that bothers me. But the rest, I love South Florida. I love USA. USA is so different than Brazil that you cannot realize. You cannot, if you don't live in Brazil, if you don't see, the culture is so different. The way people think is so different that I cannot even explain how. Like last month, I went to Brazil and I started to talk with people. And I just realized, man, it's like being in another world. People have another mentality. And I think that's, it is what it is, but America and especially in South Florida, we have so many people from so many different backgrounds. On the gym, we have people from Venezuela, from Cuba, from Argentina, from Poland, from England, all over the world. And you can learn and you can talk about all that stuff with people from different countries. And that's why I think I have been learning so much about life and everything in America. It's because this melting pot of people, of cultures. So I just love to be here in South Florida.
Well, you are a credit to your country and we all love Brazil. And we can't wait to see you compete. Renato Moicano versus Jalen Turner, April 13th, UFC 300. I'm getting excited just thinking about it. Hey, if people want to buy your merchandise, I mean, we'll shout out your social media, but where can Kenny trade in his Bitcoin for Money Moicano t-shirts?
moneymoicano.com. And like I say, I'm still working on the site. I'm still working on everything. I made a lot of t-shirts. I almost sell all out, but the hats, they went bad. Nobody is buying. Ha! That's why I'm using. And then I ask you guys, go over there and buy the fucking hat.
All right, I'm gonna go buy a hat.
I have a code, money20, for 20% of this content on the hat. So help me and help save my bank account.
All right, we're gonna try to push out some hats. Thank you, brother. We appreciate the time. We know it's precious, and we'll see you in a couple weeks in Vegas.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Thank you so much again, Kenny Florian. And that was that's a good podcast, a beautiful setup. Thank you so much for inviting me. Okay,
my man. Have a great day. Train hard. Stay well. We'll see you soon.
See you.
There he is, the 13th ranked UFC lightweight contender, Renato Money Moicano. Kenflo better show up here in a fucking Money Moicano t-shirt. Dude, you know, that's that it. Awesome. I mean, you buy the hat if you want. I mean, we're going to buy the hat, but Kenny, you got to buy one of those t-shirts.
I mean, I love that guy now. I liked him before. I love that guy now. I mean, just completely honest. I mean, says it like how he feels. He's been fighting his ass off, you know, has been on a tear last five fights. He has an awesome record and really killing it. And man, I wish him the best of luck. And he's on a legendary card. So amazing stuff.
Not showing up on Brazilian time either, right on the screws and ready to go today. And we very much appreciate his time and all the time from the athletes over the last several weeks. One thing I did want to hit on, just this friendship with Matheus Gamrot. right? I mean, you can tell those dudes are boys, right? And he would have no problem seemingly fighting Matheus Gamrot in a title fight, and power to him, right? Because it's easier to be a man of truth on here than to be like, oh no, it's my friend, you know. And obviously that's not a stance that is going to be, you know, not that the promotion would frown on that stance, but it's not necessarily a public stance you're trying to take that you're not going to fight another guy in the top of the division. But what do you make of all of that, just given seemingly how tight he and Matheus Gamrot are?
First of all, it's very rare that you hear someone take that stance. An American top team, they're pretty tight. But you also hear that authenticity in his voice and him saying, listen, I know what I got into this game for. I'm here to be the best. I'm here to make the most amount of money I can. If I have to fight a buddy in order to get there, I'll do it. Because at the end of the day, you don't hold hands walking into the octagon with your buddy. I mean, you know what I mean? You're in this game. It's one-on-one. Not everyone feels that way, but clearly he understands his position. He understands why he got into this game. And if you're, you know, part of the UFC brass who's making decisions, who's making a lot of these fights, that's music to their ears. That's what they want to hear. So props to Renato for that.
Gotta love Renato Money Moicano. Would you do power slap against me for $300,000 guaranteed?
I don't know.
You turn that into Bitcoin. I mean, turn it into fucking Bitcoin. You know, I don't know. Whatever you do, whatever you guys in Charlotte, North Carolina do with $300,000. No, I'm serious, man. Stop laughing. Would you do power slap against me, 300 grand a show? I'm only getting 90 grand a show. We're coming in under 400,000. I'm only getting 90.
This isn't right. This isn't right, John. Listen, that's pretty good money. I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to hurt you. I wouldn't want to hurt. Not to say, oh, I'm going to, you know, but I wouldn't want to hurt you. I don't know. That's that.
Sorry. My roadcaster failing me. I don't know what to tell you guys, you know. Almost got through it all right there. What were we talking about anyway before I had to reboot my system there?
Little slap competition.
Yeah. So what's the, so where were we exactly? So what's the answer on the, so you have a meteor palm. You would, I think you'd be the betting favorite for sure. Prohibitively favored. If people knew my concussion history, they certainly wouldn't consider me a live underdog. All right. So, but you versus Kurt Pellegrino then, 300 grand a show.
Oh, I'll slap the shit out of Kurt.
Yeah.
I'll slap the shit out of him. Yeah. He'd slap the shit out of me too.
I might do power slap against Kurt for like $500 to show.
He's got little 4-year-old hands anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Everybody go listen to Kurt Pellegrino's podcast when you're done with this one. All right. Thanks to the money man, not Floyd Mayweather, Renato Moicano. All right, UFC Fight Night predictions coming up here in about 60 seconds. But as many of you know, the thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. So the tournament right now down to the Sweet 16. And right now, live on DraftKings Sportsbook, UConn is the betting favorite to win it all, followed closely by Houston and Purdue. Also, for our viewers in North Carolina, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state as well. The Tar Heels have a pretty good chance to win it all. Plus 1,100 right now, one of the top five favorites to cut down the nets. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Not now, but right now. Use code AFPOD. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code AFPOD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, now joining us, add a little levity and knowledge to the program, host of the MMA Takes podcast. Some might refer to him as Big Gun Ryan Petrie. Petrie, good to see you, buddy. Ever have a fake ID?
I never have. Believe it or not, I'm the oldest of my friends by several months. So I wrote it out. I weighed it. Not a lot of people look like this guy. You know what I mean? You can't find them.
Well, and when Kenny and I were born in the 1970s and we used fake identification cards in the 1990s, technology was just nowhere near the level it's at right now. Ken Flo, no. You had to have a fake ID back in the day, no?
Perhaps.
Yes. Oh, look at this. He ain't going to admit that on the record. Yeah, I think I have. I mean, not like I ever used it to get in a bar, but I did have a... I actually got into a strip club called Chez Paris in Montreal.
Nice.
With Neil Seidemann's identification, one of our counselors at camp. And I was able to use his ID, his real ID, to get into that strip club when I was 16 years of age. And that night effectively changed my life forever.
Check you out.
So, Bri, how was your weekend, kid? Oh, any thoughts on Rose Namajunas, Amanda Ribas, anything else or what?
Close fight. Rose looked good. I had her by knockout. I thought maybe she can get Ribas out of there, but Ribas is a tough customer. It was a competitive fight. The grappling exchanges were really fun. A little late for my blood. I was hanging on by a thread there on the East Coast time, but it was a fun fight.
All right, so we will spin it forward now if we could. UFC Fight Night, Blanchfield versus Fjor. And I know our listeners like when I throw Brazilian names your way in the pronunciation of the week. This one is a repeat offender or a repeat customer. We actually have two files for you today. Are you getting stressed out, bro?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So this one is just too good not to feature again. She's a decorated Brazilian jiu-jitsu player. Her initials are VJ. Yeah. And this weekend, she will face Lupi Godinez in a big strawweight prelim. Bri, who are we talking about? My brother.
So I don't cheat, but I always phonetically do it to myself before the show. I've been running thin on time today. I had a busy day, so I haven't got to do that. So here's the first time saying it. Vinha Jandidoba is what I'm going with.
That's pretty good.
All right.
Let's listen to her say it. That's pretty good. Cody, what do you have for us?
Virna Carcará Jandidoba. Virna Carcará Jandidoba.
I love that file. She goes into like thespian mode.
Yeah.
Virna Carcará Jandidoba. Ken Flo, what do you think? Circle get the square or no?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a if you listen, it's there's a virna.
Yeah,
it's a virna. So it sounds like Vina, but it's Vir. But I was close. I give it to him. Come on, he's an all green, my favorite color. Let's give it to
green
him.
Over here.
Yeah, that's a hit on the first one, Bri. But yeah, it is a tricky one because as she slows it down, you hear Virna Jandidoba instead of just the Vina. But we do go with Vina Jandidoba on broadcast. All right, our second one, we do have a file on this main card fighter. He faces Cedriquis Dumas this weekend. Fights out of Uzbekistan, knocked out Bruno Fajeda in his UFC debut last July. Nickname is Black.
Yes.
What do you think, Bri? Who am I talking about?
Kid. Love this fighter. I'm going to go with Sultan Ruzaboyev.
All right, let's hear.
I butchered that.
Let's hear Nursultan. Cody, what do you have on the file?
My name is Nursultan Black Rozuboyev. My name is Nursultan Black Rozuboyev.
I mean, I don't know. Is it Rozabayev? Ruzabayev?
That's a swing and a miss.
That's hard. Yeah, I mean, you didn't hit it, but I don't know that I'm going to hit it as the main event challenge continues here. Kenny, is it Ruzabayev, Rozabayev? What are we going with?
I'm here at Ruzaboyev.
Ruzaboyev. All right. Nursultan Ruzaboyev. All right. Good enough for me. All right, my favorite part of the program, no heavy lifting from yours truly. Today's main event challenge is presented by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. At DraftKings, the crown is yours. So how about me hitting you guys with 7 picks, huh? Kenny's like, Jesus, I'm trying to be a father. It's all fucking film study. All right, we start today, boys, with the featured prelim at featherweight. Couple of sneaky big names here. Jamal Emmers, -205. Nate the Train Landwehr is +170. So Emmers is now 34 years of age, 3-3 in the UFC, coming off a big stoppage win over Dennis Baszucki. That was UFC 295 last November. Nate the Train had some appreciable momentum, Bri. That was stopped by Dan Ige last June in a unanimous decision loss at UFC 289. So good news for Landwehr. Almost 10 months to work on his game, but he's the underdog here. Bri, your thoughts on Nate the Train against Jamal Pretty Boy Emmers?
So everybody knows I love Nate, and I'm a little under weather to see if the voice can handle this. Nate the Train, baby!
Let's go.
I love Nate the Train, and if you follow his Instagram, boy's looking a little gack gack. cut up. Physically, he's looking pretty good. And Jamal Emmers has been around forever. You look at his record, he's fought the who's who. And he's coming off, to me, in my opinion, his real statement win. One punch knockout of Dennis Mazouk, who I believe hadn't been finished up until that point. So that's a really good, nice win for him. He's a tough out. He's durable. His cardio is finally getting where it needs to be. He's always falling a little short, and he's never won two in a row in the UFC. Coming off a win, my guy Nate coming off a loss. Nate had won three in a row, maybe four in a row. I can't remember. Got the Dan Ige test. Failed it, right? Failed it, you know, got rocked around a little bit. Didn't really fight his game, but hung on tough. Thing about Nate, though, is his losses in UFC have come in the first round. Herbert Burns got him in the first round. Julian Rosa got him in the first round. Ige dropped him in the first round. So I would play this Emmer's first round KO. Other than that, it's Nate the Train all the way, baby. Give me the underdog. I'm dancing with the plus money, and I'm confident. I think Nate the Train grinds him out. Third round submission maybe is something I like to tingle, but I think maybe a decision.
Kempflo, Jamal Emmers, minus 205. Nate Landwehr, plus 170. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, you know, when I look at both these fighters, I think that for Emmers, he's the better athlete. Landwehr is extremely durable, though, and I could see it going that way. You know, him rallying late, tiring Emmers out perhaps, and then coming back. But I do think Emmers has enough experience and intelligence to look at past Landwehr fights and go, no, this guy is going to be dangerous every second of the fight. I got to be on my game. I got to be in shape. So I just think he's a little bit more technical everywhere. And because of that, I like him here in this fight. I think it's certainly a little bit closer than the odds indicate. But give me Jamal Emmers.
All right, now we get to the main card. Six fights live, yours this Saturday on ESPN from Atlantic City, New Jersey. This one's at welterweight. Sheedy and Njokuani, minus 170. Taking on Reese McKee, who is plus 142. So Njokuani took him a while to get to the UFC, and since he's arrived, Bry, sort of a tale of two careers. Started guns blazing, back-to-back first-round knockouts since he's lost three in a row. Maybe fighting for his job here against Ireland's Reese McKee. Your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I like Chidi Bingman. You know, power is always going to be there. Cardio has failed him. He's at 170 now. Boys, this guy's 6'3". I know he's a tall drink of water, but 170, that might be a little bit of a cut for him. Yeah. Reese McKee's not a small guy either at 6'2". Both these guys are huge 170s. But Reese McKee likes to get in firefights. I don't see him not being able. I mean, he might want to go for takedowns. He does have some submissions. He's well-rounded, but he likes to get in firefights. That's kind of his game plan. You get in a firefight with Chidi, it's over. This is a good live betting spot here. I think Reese, if you want to go Reese at plus 142, you're not going to find a worse number. I like that. But I think Chidi, bang, bang, coming off three losses, coming down a new weight. I think he's coming out motivated, in shape, cutting that weight, and then the power is going to be there. I think he'll find Reese McKee's chin. I like Chidi by knockout. If not, live bet Reese McKee later in the fight, I think. This is a good live betting spot. For our purposes, Chidi, bang, bang.
Chidi, bang, bang, minus 170. Reese McKee, plus 142. So Kenflo McKee, 0-3 in the UFC. As many of you know, he fought Khamzat Chimaev in his UFC debut. That was July of 2020 on Fight Island. He's only competed once since that calendar year, and that was a unanimous decision loss to Angelosa last September. So, Kenny, potentially a must-win scenario on both sides. Your thoughts on Njokuani and McKee at 170?
Yeah, the way I see it, I think that Chidi Njokuani does everything better than McKee, to be honest. I think that even with that longer frame, he's got that 2-inch reach advantage, a 1-inch on the height. And I just think he's the better athlete. McKee, he can put together combinations and then he'll kind of hurt you. He doesn't have that same level of power that Brian Petrie was talking about that Njokuani has. So I like this. I like it even more now that the odds have actually come down a little bit. And perhaps I'm looking at those odds like a hawk.
All right. We'll see later on the direction in which these guys go when they place their bets. But next up on the main card at featherweight, Bill Algeo, minus 218. Kyle Nelson, plus 180. I don't know how good Pennsylvania's Algeo is, but I think he's pretty good, Bri. He's won two in a row, four of his last five, all against good competition. And now another good stern test in the UFC tested Kyle Nelson, who has also won two in a row. What do you think about Algeo here? About a 2-1 favorite against the Canadian Kyle Nelson.
So both these guys just rob me every time they fight. I'm never on the right side of them. Excuse me. Kyle Nelson, We all saw how good Padilla looked last week or this past weekend, excuse me, won by knockout. Look, Kyle Nelson beat him and beat him and shut him down. Before that, Blake Builder had a little bit of hype, shut him down. This guy is cashing at plus money. You enter Bill Algeo, who is his own kind of, you know, he coaches himself. He owns his own gym. King of Prussia. I think I said he was from Philly one time. Someone DM me like, hey, bro, it's King of Prussia. Excuse me. I don't know the geolocations of Philadelphia or Pennsylvania all that well. But Algeo is interesting because I think he can win this fight numerous ways. But if he gets taken down, he plays the guard game a little too long sometimes, the fight goes away from him. I think he's the better striker. I think it's the more volume. I think the line's steep. I'm not willing to play this line. This is going to be a void for me just because I don't want to lose any more money on these guys. But I'm leaning Bill Algeo because I think he's overall the more skillful fighter.
Kenny, pretty good story. On the other side, Kyle Nelson at 1.1-4 in the UFC, now unbeaten in his last three. What are your thoughts for us on this one? You're smirking.
Yeah, Brian's stealing all my juice, man. He's stealing my juice. No, he's right. He's on it, man. You know, Algeo, the taller guy. You know, I do think he's got the better overall skill set. You know, I think that he's got an unorthodox game, and that alone can throw people off. Kyle Nelson, I think, is a good fighter, though. You know, 5 knockouts, 4 subs, nothing to sneeze at there. Has a really good clinch game. He's a strong fighter, but he's a little bit stiff. You know, I don't know how much tension he's going to be able to remove there as far as his comfort level out there. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. But I just think Algeo kind of has him in a few different areas. So not strong with these odds, but I'm leaning Algeo as well.
All right, next up. In the middleweight division, we'll go back-to-back here at 85. The aforementioned Nursultan Rujaboyev, minus 278. Cedriquis Dumas is plus 225. So Rujaboyev, 45 pro MMA fights. He's 33-8-2 with a pair of no contests. Bunch of finishes. I think 20 submissions. Won 9 in a row, Bri. Mm-hmm. Dumas on the other side, long, ton of potential, plus athlete. 9-1 as a pro and off to a pretty nice start in the UFC in his own right at 2-1. So big fight here at 85. Sneaky big fight, I should say. Mm-hmm. Which way are you going, Brian Petrie?
So Rujaboyev.
Yep.
I fucking nailed it.
Who's your boy, Ed?
Practice right there. is a stud, right? You look at this guy's record and who he's fought. I'm surprised it took him this long to get to the UFC because he also has finishes on his record as well. Dude is good. And then what he did in his debut was amazing. There's more to show. His grappling's good. His submissions are good. He's tough. He's durable. And he's obviously has some power in his hands. Dumas is a guy who's green. Right. He looks cool as shit. Right. This dude he looks cool. He's got the cool tattoos, got the swagger about him, but is green. Right. And the Cody Brundage fight, he learned how to grapple for the Cody Brundage fight, but he landed 17 strikes, boring decision. Last time out, same thing. He's learning to grapple, wanting to grapple a little bit. The long range strikes that he had prior to coming to UFC, there's no longer there. I think Dumas is getting eaten up here. I think there's levels to this, boys. And I think Rujaboyev is going to finish him with whatever he wants. I'm going to play this. I will say right now, personally, this is going to be probably the biggest. I know people don't like me talking units or whatever, gambling talk. This will be the highest unit play I'll play all year so far.
Wow.
I have a good bankroll right now. I'm leaning close, and I hate when those people go, oh, you know, I played 10 units. When, you know, that's all bullshit, right? This might be like a 10-unit play for your boy. I'm being serious. I have all the confidence in the world in him. I just think Dumas is a little over his head right now. I think he's got some personal stuff going on, too, from when I saw. Could be distraction, could be, you know, whatever. But Rujaboyev is here, man. He's a killer, and I look for a big finish as well.
Nicely done, Bri. Nursultan Rujaboyev. Potential 10-unit play from Brian Petrie. Kemflo, what are your thoughts on this one?
Wow. Yeah, listen, I think Dumas has a lot of potential. He's someone to watch out for. But, I mean, what is Rujaboyev's got, 45 fights on his record? That is insane. The dude's an absolute sniper as well from the outside, whether it's knees or shots. Like, he's a very good athlete, as is Dumas. But I don't know, man. How do you sleep on that amount of experience? It's going to be really tough. I do think Dumas, if he's able to develop, is someone to watch. You know, 9-1 record, so not as many fights, but he does have a bunch of finishes. Not as many as Ruzaboyev. I'm sorry. So I like him as well. I think he's just going to be better, more experienced everywhere. And that height, that's a lot to deal with, man.
6'5".
Yeah, 6'5".
Duma, still a developing fighter, mm-hmm. to be sure.
For sure.
We'll see how he handles this significant test in front of him this weekend. All right, Kenny, we're going to go right back to you on this one. Featured bout at middleweight, Bruno Silva, minus 278. Former champ Chris Weidman is plus 225. Silva coming off a unanimous decision loss to Shahrabulat Magomedov. Could definitely use a win here as he takes on Chris Weidman, for whom this will be fight back number two since that brutal leg break that took place April of 2021. Kenny Weidman, plus 225 underdog here in the New York tri-state area. Your thoughts?
See, it's tough for me to be able to take off my Weidman and Ray Longo glasses sometimes. That's the problem.
Yeah.
But I genuinely think this is a good matchup for Chris. Out of all the matchups out there, I think this is a good matchup for him. Why? Because he's going to have a huge wrestling advantage in this one. Now, is Chris going to wrestle? That's the question. I don't think he needed to strike for as long as he did against Tavares. Now, Tavares has excellent takedown defense, very underrated takedown defense, especially up against the cage. But I think if Chris is able to get into a better groove, get off to a better start in this fight after that long layoff, I think that he can get things going early, start to get his range, land shots on the feet, set up those takedowns, and put Bruno Silva on his back. I think Weidman is still a major threat on the ground. I don't think he's as much of a threat on the feet. He's not the knockout guy he was before, or this versatile striker. I don't think he was ever necessarily a versatile striker, but I do think he can get his striking to the point where he can set up his takedowns and do what he does best here. So I kind of like these odds. I think there's value there. So I don't know. I like Weidman.
Chris Weidman, 11-7 in the UFC. Bri, he turns 40 on June 17th. Made his UFC debut March 3rd, 2011. And 2022 is the only year since then in which he hasn't had at least one fight. And of course, that was on the heels of the leg break. So right. A lot of respect in this room for the Warrior. I can understand why Ken Flo sees some value there, plus 225 or so right now on DraftKings Sportsbook. Brian Petrie, we're not here to make friends. Bruno right. Silva, the favorite, or Chris Weidman, the underdog?
I ride with Longo. Excuse me. I ride with Longo, guys, and I'm a Chris Weidman fan. I am. I mean, this guy, you know, I understand the type of person that he is, of wanting to come back and get another W, but this is a guy, a former champion, beat Anderson Silva, defended against Anderson Silva, defended his belt three times. There's nothing to be done here, but he goes, I can't go out like that. I get it, right? But in the Tavares fight, he looked slow. Wrestling kind of wasn't there. His toughness was there. I mean, he got his leg kicked off and he was like, I'm not quitting. You got to respect that. No one's ever going to doubt Chris Weidman's toughness. And the path of victory is there. He's got to wrestle. I mean, you look at Bruno Silva against Andrew Sanchez, many moons ago, Sanchez led in 7 takedowns on Silva. It's there. It's a path to victory. Silva is not great off his back. His takedown defense is a little bit better than maybe people give him credit for, but Weidman is an elite wrestler, elite grappler when he's there, and his chokes are phenomenal. He can get you on a lot of different chokes if he wants to do that. We haven't seen it in a while, obviously. But unfortunately, I just think Silva hits too hard, man. It's kind of the story of Chris Weidman in the past few years, even before the leg break. He's doing so good, then he gets caught. He's doing so good, he gets caught. And you just really don't want to get caught by a guy like Bruno Silva with just cement in his hands. He hits so hard. And with Chris being almost 40, being out of the game, I wish he would have done this fight camp in Long Island. I know he's got a whole setup in South Carolina, but I really think old school Long Island, Ray Longo, car push. I remember watching their vlogs. They do a car push. Ray be like, we're doing the fucking car push tonight. I love it. But we're, you know, I understand that he's a family man now and he's living a different life. But yeah, I'm going to go Bruno Silva. Hurts my heart to pick against Weidman. But, you know, I think Silva's going to, unfortunately.
Yo, are you banging all the Carolinas right now? John, let me at him. Let me at him. Let me try to get at this guy.
You can find him.
What?
I got his address.
What?
All right. Co-main event. In the welterweight division, Vicente Luque has been there. He has done that. He's minus 120. Joaquin Numancia Buckley, the plus 100 even money underdog at present. So as many of you know, Luque had that fight against Ian Machado Gary go away. That was to be at UFC 296 last year. And then that fight itself went away. Jeff Neal got the fight instead of Luque. Now returns on this date, briefly linked to a fight against Sean Brady, but Brady not healthy. So in steps, Numansa, Joaquin Buckley. Essentially a pick'em right now, Brian Petrie. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the co-main?
I love Buckley going down to 70, right? Typically, I don't like guys cutting weight, but he was a smaller guy at 85. Jacked everywhere, but the weight cut is good. He's on weight, typically fight, you know, a couple days before the fight. I love that he's training, mixing up. He's training everywhere. He's going different places. Problem with Buckley is have a little bit of a chin issue. He's been put away a few times. Yes, that was at 85. He's looked good at 70, but Vicente Luque, this guy can crack. But Vicente Luque can get hit as well. His last time out, he landed 8 takedowns against RDA, something we haven't really seen a wrinkle in his game. I think if he hunts for takedowns against Buckley, who's super explosive, super athletic, he's going to run into something. He got put away by Jeff Neal. His durability got tested against Jeff Neal. It was 2 fights ago. He got put away. Buckley cracks. Might not be as clean as Jeff Neal, but explosive athlete. And I think if Vicente Luque doesn't mix it up well, he's in problem here. I was surprised to get Buckley at a little bit of a plus money. So I'm going to take Joaquin Buckley in this spot.
Yeah, I can see why people see value on Joaquin Buckley at almost any number. Luque 15-5 in the UFC. Ken Flo Buckley, a respectable 7-4. We all know about Joaquin Buckley's knockout of Impa Kasanganai, but I think far more important than that is this welterweight division that Brian led with, right? He's won 2 in a row at 70. It's the division in which he belongs. Your thoughts on Buckley's ability, Ken Flo, to spring a slight upset this weekend against the well-traveled Vicente Luque?
There's no question that Buckley could pull this off, and it definitely has me nervous for Luque. Luque has had an insane schedule. You look at all the killers that he has faced. It is wild. Now, the problem with that is that he's also been in a lot of wars. He's an excellent finisher, but at what point are we like, his chin's gone, and it's never coming back? So that concerns me because he is going against a guy in Buckley who obviously has knockout power and not so much of a problem if you are extremely defensively sound and you don't get hit. The problem is you can't find Luque's chin. So again, that is a concern. I do think Luque has more ways to win. He's the better guy in the ground. He has one of the best front chokes in the form of that D'Arce anywhere. He snatches that up. You're going to sleep or you're tapping out, period. Excellent finisher on the feet as well. His tie clinch, his knees, hits extremely hard, puts together beautiful combinations, can take your legs out. So there's a lot of different things he can do. So I'm leaning on Luque here. I do think Luque can get it done, no question about it. But Buckley, extremely dangerous. So picking Luque, but not so strongly.
All right, place your bets coming up here in about 3 minutes, but we got to get into this main event and get a prediction on the record. Flyweight title eliminator, or so it would appear. Aaron Blanchfield, minus 198, the betting favorite. Manon Fiore comes back, plus 164. I love this fight. I know I said that last week in advance of Rose Namajunas and Amanda Ribas, and it wasn't necessarily an all-action affair, but both of these women are 6-0 in the UFC. Blanchfield has lived up to every bit of hype that preceded her UFC debut. She's still just 24. And Fiore is really good as well. I mean, largely, Manon Fiore has dominated every round she's competed in the UFC, Bri. Mm-hmm. But someone's got to give this weekend. Do you like Aaron Blanchfield the favorite or Manon Fiore the underdog?
You know, I get a little bashful talking about my sweetie Aaron Blanchfield. Now, I know I'm not her type. You know, she prefers the opposite gender. That's okay. I like her.
She hasn't met Brian. She hasn't met Petrie.
That's right. Hey, that's right. I got some stories, boys. I love her last fight against Talos Santos because Aaron Blanchfield, take you down, submit you, take you down, beat you up. She couldn't take Santos down. What does she do? She volumes up, works her striking, which is still getting refined, but she's got that dog in her. She bit down on the mouthpiece, went for it, listened to her coaches. I can't get her down. Let's stand up with her. We've been working on that. Fiore, how do you say it, Johnny? Give me one more time.
Manon Fiore.
Fiore.
We actually have the file. We actually pulled the file because I thought there might be some confusion.
It's been tough. Cody, go ahead and hit me with that, man.
My name is Manon the Beast Fiore. My name is Manon the Beast Fiore.
Fiore. Well, she's a fantastic fighter, right? I saw her fight live in Columbus. Her striking is next level, and she is hard to take down. She is probably training this entire camp not to get taken down. This is five rounds. I trust Blanchfield's cardio. I don't think she's going to have to force takedowns. I would like to see her strike. Takedowns there, take it. If not, that's fine. We can strike. Fiora has a trouble of putting volume on people. It's very clean. She's very clean. Blanchfield needs to make it a little bit ugly, get it rough and tough, clinch her up, rough her up, get your hands on her, put her down if you can. If not, this is five rounds. I like her cardio in this spot. However, I'm saying that being a guy that has a crush and likes Erin Blanchfield, I think she's a future champion. But the dog is live in this spot. I think this fight is so good. I truly don't know who's going to win. I think it's going to be high action, high pace, and it's going to come down to fourth and fifth round, and we're all going to be like, I don't know who won. We all might have different scorecards, but I'm taking Blanchfield. She's going to get it done.
All right, Erin Blanchfield, about a 2-1 favorite right now. Ken Flo on the other side, Manon Fiore. Last four wins, all by unanimous decision against Maida Bueno Silva, Jennifer Maia, Caitlin Chookagian, and Rose Namajunas, all former title challengers or champions. Seems like the perfect fight at the perfect time for both women. We need a prediction. Ken Flo, who do you have?
He pulled a Ken Flo there. I thought he was going to go the other way, and then he switched it up. Now I know what you're talking about. God damn, Petrie. All right. So listen, this is a great fight. Very interesting one for me. I did a lot of tape study for this one, literally like up into the last minute of this podcast, trying to figure things out. Because it's a tricky one. I think Blanchfield is the better fighter on the ground. That is pretty clear, right? However, it is also very clear that Fiore is the much better striker. And Blanchfield, she kind of leads with her toughness a little bit. She gets hit a lot. She powers through. She gets you to the ground, and she kind of just dominates you. When I look at her last couple fights, which is typically the better indicator, I see a girl that kind of struggled on the feet against Santos a little bit. I think she hit harder than Santos, which was kind of saving her, but she does eat a lot of shots. I think Fiore, with that height advantage, is going to pose a lot of problems. But more than anything else, when you have reach and you have footwork, that is kind of double the trouble for me. And a lot of these karate fighters can be very tricky for a lot of grapplers who might lack some of that footwork a bit. So I don't know, man. The more I actually saw of Blanchfield, the more confident I got in Fiore in a weird way. I definitely think Blanchfield could potentially get it done with control, with her submission game. But I don't see her striking up at that level just yet. I think why? I think she lacks a little bit of athleticism here. Luckily for her, though, she is very technical with what she does. And I think she hits very hard. So and she's tough and she's durable, right? So this is a really tough one. I just think the length, the striking, that's where the value lies for me in Fiore. And her being the underdog like she is, give me Manon Fiore.
Nicely done, Ken Flo.
Thank you, buddy.
Really good on the main event prediction, fellas. But we really need to know where your money's going to be. So it is now time for Place Your Bets, brought to you by johnanik.com, where you can get the fresh off the press, one more sleep design for UFC 300 right now for 20% off with promo code one more sleep. All right, Brian Petrie was -259.57 going into UFC fight night. Namajunas versus Hibas. Lost a nickel on Billy Q, $500 on Billy Coroncello, but came back strong. You made $121.95 on your straight wagers on Carl What's Up Williams and Rose Namajunas. So -256 for the week. You are -515.67 for the year to date. Ken Flo came in north of $1,000 to the positive. He did lose $600 on Cameron Simon, but you got $195.12 back on your Rose Namajunas straight wager. That was a $400 bet to pay $195.12. So -404.88 for the week, year to date, +613.55. Brian Petrie, host of the MMA Takes podcast. Yes. You have $1,000 to spend. UFC Fight Night, Blanchfield versus Fiore. In which way are you going?
So it took to the end of March, but we're doing it. 1K!
Oh,
Roy Zaboyev, let's go, baby!
All right. Nursultan Ruzaboyev.
Yes.
$1,000 straight wager, yes, at a price of -278. Peach, you're not fucking around, Ken Flo.
Come back.
How you spending your four figures?
No, and I'm feeling the pressure. I'm feeling the pressure. Dude's on me like Khabib Nurmagomedov right now. All right. So the way I split it up, so I'm kind of spreading my bets everywhere. I'm kind of going the opposite direction. So we got 300 on Njokuani.
Okay.
We got 300 on who's your boy, Ev? Who's your boy, Ev? And then I got 250 on Fjord.
250 straight on Manon Fjord.
So I got 150 left, I think.
If my maths
is correct.
And you should spend it.
All right, here we go. Let's do it. I got a little parlay for you, boys. I got, give me a little Njokuani. Give me a Algio.
Okay.
And give me a Ruzaboyev.
Look at you.
Hey.
All right,
hey.
So Kemflo, go ahead, Bri.
No, I'm just liking Kenny's bets.
Sprinkle.
$300 straight. On Njokuani, 300 on Khabib, 250 on Manon Fjord, and then a three-leg parlay to close it out. Outstanding work, fellas. If you want more from Brian Petrie, at Brian Petrie MMA on your social channels. Buddy, feel better. We appreciate the time, and we will talk to you once again next week.
You guys are the best. I'll see you.
All right, that is it for the Main Event Challenge and Place Your Bets, and that is it for this episode. Thank you to Renato Moicano. Thanks to Brian Petrie. Cody Merrow is our executive producer. You can follow the show at Anik Florian Pod. Check out all of our merchandise at johnanik.com. Don't forget that promo code One More Sleep applies to all Anik and Florian podcast merchandise. Also check out KennyFlorianMartialArts.com. He gets $20 every time you click on that website. With that, for Kemflo and our entire staff, Will Berger and the rest, John Anik saying so long for now. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We will talk to you next Monday, if not sooner. Until then, you'll be. Best that you can, keep your hands on the bar, hit the open man, he's cornbread.